your Bibles tonight, turn with us to the book of Amos, chapter number 3. Book of Amos, chapter number 3. We are a privileged folk tonight.
Yes, we are.
We are blessed. We are blessed. And, boy, I hate to be negative, but I'm going to be. America has been blessed so much that it has forgotten God.
That's right. Come on.
And the church has been so blessed that we have learned how to make it without God.
Yeah. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, forgive us, Jesus.
I had a preacher tell me recently, he said, you just negative many. I said, well, I can't help it. You've got a right to be wrong. Bible said there would be a church that would have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof.
Yes, sir.
And he goes on and says, from such turn away. And so I want to be part of the church that Jesus is coming after.
Yes, sir.
And here is sermon number 1, and it doesn't cost you anything. The church of Jesus is not ready for the coming of the Lord.
Help us, God.
Now, he can come tonight because he's a sovereign God.
Yes, sir.
But I've been in this thing a long time, and I have seen a falling away that the Bible speaks of. Mm-hmm. And I had a preacher recently say, well, he said, Bruce, I'm going to tell you. He said, the day of revival is over. It's over. And I said, well, the Bible said in the last days there'd be a falling away. But he also said in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men, that's me and Brother Horton, will dream dreams. And of course, Brother Hewitt. He's older than all of us. Amos chapter 3, verse number 1. I want to preach tonight on responsibility of the privileged of God. The responsibility that we have as children of the Lord. It says here, God speaking through Amos the prophet to the children of Israel. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family. And then he reminds them, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, and here it is, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Uh-huh. Amen. Father, bless your word tonight and bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to ask you a question tonight, and it's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer this out loud. Matter of fact, I just assume you didn't just right now, but would you agree with me tonight that as a child of God, we have a responsibility to God for what God has done for us? Amen. By redeeming us. And how many of you ever been touched and healed by the power of God? I was looking back today, and it was in 2017 that I was here in the church the last time. It doesn't seem that long, but it was. And since that time, in 2018, I had a surgery that left my left arm completely paralyzed. I woke up one morning and just could not use my left arm. It was just there. Oh, it was still attached, but I had no use for it whatsoever. I went to a nerve doctor, and he says, This arm is up in your neck, so only an inch a month does your nerve heal itself. You're looking at 2 years and maybe longer if it ever comes back, and that's your dilemma. That's where you're at. And so God, and it's a long story and I'll not bore you with it, but in less than a month, God had healed that arm. I am indebted to Him tonight. I have a responsibility to God for what He has done for me.
Yes,
in this text, God is reminding the children of Israel that He has brought them out of bondage.
Yeah.
God sometimes needs to remind us that He's done saved us from our sins.
Yeah.
That He has delivered us from the iniquity that bound us. And because of that, we have a responsibility to Him.
Sir, that's right, Brother Bruce.
Amen. A responsibility to serve Him. Responsibility is a word that is not used, and nobody really likes that word anymore, especially in 2021 in America. Responsibility is kind of like this. A prospective employee was asked by his, or told by his employer, prospective employer, say, I'm looking for somebody that's responsible. And he said, I'm your man. The last job I was on, every time something went wrong, the boss said, you're responsible. And so that is very much a part of America as far as that goes, because nobody wants the real responsibility of being who we are supposed to be as men and women of the Lord Jesus Christ. Responsibility. Why don't we like responsibility? Because responsibility requires something of us, does it not?
Yes.
It requires us to be faithful to God. Responsibility requires us to be in the house of God. Responsibility causes us to want to pay our tithe, because it's a responsibility that God gives us the privilege of as children of God. Now, I'm not going to do this tonight, but when I was a young evangelist and I don't have much wisdom. It's something I struggle with. But I used to pull my coat off, Chris, and I'd give it to Rose and I'd say, honey, I'm not going to do this tonight. Would you hold my coat? Anybody steal from God, no telling what they'd take from me. It's a responsibility that I'm privileged to do tonight. My dad was a POW in the Second War. My dad gave faithfully to God in his last years, about 10 years before he left this world. He had taken that responsibility and carried it faithfully before God. And the VA called him and said, Mr. Smithson, we have overlooked your file all of these years. My dad was wounded. My dad was a POW. My dad had frostbite on his feet. And the VA said, say, we're going to back pay you $35,000 for all the years that we've overlooked your file. He made $4,000 a month till he left this world. A lot more money than he ever made working on the job place. Why was it? He took that responsibility that was his and he carried it faithfully before God. Hey, David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. That responsibility, Will Rogers said it like this, the history of America can be written in three phrases: the passing of the Indian, the passing of the buffalo, and the passing of the buck. Adam said, the woman that you gave to me has caused me to participate in the forbidden fruit. And Aaron said, they gave me their jewelry, and out of the fire came this golden calf.
Right.
But the text is telling us tonight that our relationship with God is a privilege.
Yeah.
It is an honor for me to be called a son of Almighty God. Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews said, because of what Jesus did on the cross, I can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help and mercy in the time of need. It is a privilege and a responsibility that I'm glad that I have the privilege of tonight. Israel so many times become complacent in their relationship with God. I think I was talking to Brother Larry and Sister Teresa at lunch today. I said, all through the Bible, every time that Israel, every time God blessed them, every time they were left to themselves, Brother Horton, and there by themselves, God's blessing was upon them, what did they do? They could not handle it, and they just completely, come on here, you better say amen, I'll think you're guilty tonight. They forsook God.
Yes, sir.
Would you agree with me tonight that America has forsook God?
Yes, sir.
And I just might as well tell you, we haven't handled our responsibility, Brother Kelby, that well.
Yeah.
Because since 1972, we've killed over 2 million babies in this country. Romans chapter 1 has exploded itself in America today, women with women, men with men,
yes,
and the perversion of sex is just on the internet. It's on the television. We used to preach against television when I started, and the worst thing on there was old Barney Fife or Ernest T. Bass.
Yeah.
It's me, it's Ernest T.
Yeah.
You ain't heard the last of Ernest T. Bass. I'm not talking. The more you're asking, the more I'm balking.
Yeah.
Worst thing on there.
Yeah.
Now then, you know, we've got them in every... Good God, how'd I get on this? Got them in every room, and there's nothing but the pits of hell on that stuff. And if we watch that mass and come to the house of God and expect the Holy Ghost to be there, He's not going to be there.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And something else is our responsibility.
Yes.
Jesus, His disciples came to Him, Brother Chris, and said, why can't we do this? Why can't we cast out devils? Why can't we do what you do, Lord? He said, this here only comes by prayer and fasting.
Yes, sir. Come on.
You don't have to say amen to me. It just makes me preach longer.
Yeah.
Responsibility in our relationship to God.
Yeah. Good.
Hebrew children were delivered from Egypt, crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. It's amazing to me when they come across that dry ground. I pastored some of those folks one time. And they come across that dry ground, and they were complaining that Moses wasn't doing it like they thought it ought to be done.
Yeah.
I promise you, I pastored those folks. And he got them across, and the Bible said it was on dry ground. That's a miracle. I looked at some statistics on that several years ago. They had to be 1 mile or 2 miles, I think it was, wide to go across for that millions of Jews to get across that Red Sea. What a miracle that it was. God, Moses didn't know what to do. He looks behind him, and there's Pharaoh's army. You ever been there, folk? Have you ever been to the place behind you was an enemy of your soul? You didn't know how you going to pay the light bill.
Yeah.
You didn't know where the money was coming from.
Yes, sir.
But God parted the Red Sea of your dilemma, and you walked across it on dry ground. I'm telling you, I have a responsibility to a God like that.
Amen.
I told the Bible several years ago, Rose and I were studying Dart, Arkansas. Brother King was the pastor. And back in those days, you paid to preach. Say amen. Some of you preachers know. Brother Horton knows. And we were going to Fort Smith for a revival, and I couldn't pay attention, let alone buy a tank of gas. We prayed, and God landed us in Fort Smith. We didn't care. We wasn't worried about whether, listen, I'm going to tell you, we just carried the responsibility
yes,
the best we could in all of our lack of of understanding and in our immaturity, we just carried the responsibility and God did the rest.
Yes, sir.
1982, I'll tell you, I've got a responsibility to God.
Yes, sir.
I had a bunch of deacons get me on the lake out in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and slung me against a bank, and I was in the hospital and had a blood clot in my leg, bleeding internally, and I don't know if they tried to do that on purpose or not. I'm not sure. I've been preaching about like I was tonight, and I'm not going boat riding with any of you. And I'm laying in that hospital, and I'm sedated somewhat, but I hear them, the doctor tell my dad, said he'll be a lucky young man if he lives through this weekend. And I got in church, and I had a guy filling in for me. He said, we need to pray for the pastor tonight. They laid hands on me, prayed for me, and I got to feeling something of the wheel in the middle of the wheel and the glory of the presence of God from another world. Hallelujah. The celestial glory of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world began to captivate my soul and my spirit, and I thought, I'm going to walk to the back of this church. And I walked, and I came back walking. I thought, I think I'll travel. Hey, after I got through, I was running. And God, he said, you'll never walk right again. I'm doing pretty good for an old man tonight. I've got a responsibility to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes,
I don't want to fail him.
Amen. No, sir.
I don't want to.
No,
I don't want to embarrass him.
Yes,
but
sir.
I want to carry. I told God in January of this year, I said, I'll preach the gospel the way I see it. If I never get an opportunity to preach, Brother Mike, I'm going to preach what I feel is the infallible word of God.
Yes, sir.
If I, and I said, God, if I have to read it, if I have to whisper it, if I have to just stand behind a pulpit and put it like Jonathan Edwards, to 7 hours he preached. Yes. Sinners in the hands of the angry God. And men were begging him to shut up and let him get saved. 7 hours. I think tonight may be the night.
Yeah.
Would you stay with me?
Yeah.
Responsibility in our relationship to the Lord. The greater our privilege, the greater our responsibility. Has God been good to you? Hey, just being redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus,
yes,
is good enough tonight.
Yes,
our responsibility in relationship to other folks. I thought about Jesus going to the Gadarene cemetery and there getting a man by the name of Legion and pulling him out of there. And there was something that I noticed about that man called Legion, that they bound him and he broke the chains.
Yeah.
And he was screaming in that cemetery at all hours of the night.
Yeah.
But when Jesus come walking upon that cemetery property,
yes, sir,
he said, what have I to do? Jesus, thou son of David, would you just leave me alone? I'm in torment in this place. And I thought, Brother Mike, I've got a relationship to other folks, and there needs to be a recaptivating of the presence of the Holy Ghost,
yes,
in my life, that people will recognize Jesus one more time.
Amen.
In the church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I may have told you this the last time I was here. When I was a young man, and Sister Garner has been in heaven for 50-something years. Sister Garner was a little skinny woman, weighed 90 pounds, if she weighed a pound. And she would come through the back door of the church, and that little, she had veins on her head, big as ropes, skinny. She'd come through that back door. Woo! He's here! He's here.
Yeah.
Listen, you know why he was here? Yeah. Because she brought him here
sir.
With her. Amen.
Yes,
oh, I sat on a platform here a while back. I looked at them back out there. I could tell somebody had been offered a burnt offering for breakfast that morning because they're not happy.
Yeah.
Amen. But yet we want the Holy Ghost to touch us and do. If I never pick up that book all week, I can't help anybody.
Yeah.
If I don't pray all week, I can't help anybody. I've got to spend time with the Lord. I preach a revival. Anybody know who Don Brinkle is?
Yeah.
Lord, I preach a camp meeting with him. Now, the only reason I got to preach a Don Brinkle is because Don Brinkle couldn't preach two nights in a row, and he just felt sorry for me and took me with him. So I got to preach every other night. But I can say I preached camp meeting with Don Brinkle.
Yeah.
He's preached all over the world. But there was something I noticed about him. Now, I'm not a young man anymore. And it would be my night to preach. Brother Brinkle would say, boy, get in that room and get prayed through and be ready to preach tonight when you get in the pulpit. I don't want a backslid evangelist in my revival. Now, he's 91 years old. He was probably 89 at that time, maybe 90. I can't remember. But I listened to that old man in his room adjacent to mine. I heard him praying all day. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
All day long. You know why? God called him to preach at 15 years old. He picked up a little bit of responsibility, and all of these years he's carried that responsibility of his before this whole world. Are you listening to me? Listen, and I am not Don Brinkle, but I started preaching a long time ago. I have a responsibility that I've got to carry until this bald-headed preacher leaves this world. It's my responsibility of the privilege that I have of being a child of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Not just a preacher.
Yeah.
And when Don Brinkle would get in that pulpit with that responsibility that he held dear to him, I'm telling you, people came to the altar and they were delivered and God set them free because he took that responsibility.
Yes, sir.
I had a preacher tell me here a while back. I have preachers tell me a lot of stuff. I don't listen to most of it. Man, backslide listen to preachers. They said, listen, you need to quit hanging around Don Brinkle because he's out of touch and you need to quit hanging around him. I said to that preacher, I said, God help me to be out of touch. Amen. If I could, I pray, I ask you, Brother Branko, would you just pray and ask God to put a little bit of that mantle of yours upon me? He was telling me that down in South America, one of the countries, he was preaching one night, 25,000 people there. And I've got a point to this, our responsibility to others. He was preaching, he said, all of a sudden I heard something. In the west part of the auditorium, and it went. He said to his interpreter, "What is that?" And the interpreter said, "I've only heard it twice in my life." And he said, "It is the Holy Ghost and the wind of the Spirit." And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues.
Yes, sir.
He said, all of a sudden the interpreter said, in a minute everybody in this auditorium that wants the Holy Ghost is going to be filled tonight. And he said, when that wind swept across that auditorium, people got filled with the baptism. I said, God, let me carry my responsibility and let me be out of touch.
Amen. Yes, sir.
This responsibility to other people. Oh, other people. I was preaching here a while back. Matter of fact, it was at the river where I was interim pastor for 14 months, 15, whatever it was, doesn't matter. And I was preaching the last service on Sunday night. And I'm letting you folks have it easy tonight. I got down pretty rough, and at the end of that service, a man that had been there the whole time I was, still there, struggled with alcohol. He got up that night, he came to that altar, and I'm telling you, I've got an obligation to preach the infallible word of God. I've got an obligation to tell the truth. I've got an obligation to tell it like this book says it. I preached my heart out that night. My socks were wet when I got through. He came and he squalled and he prayed and he wallowed on that altar. Some of the ladies had a burden for him. I prayed for it. Rose and I left the church that night. He was still in the altar. We have a responsibility to other people.
Yeah.
Brother Kelvin, that night I thought something special has happened to Robert. Something different has taken place in his life. And only to know that was the last service that Robert would ever be in. That coming Saturday, they found him on the front porch of his house. And he had left this world to be in the presence of God. And I thought, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you have a responsibility to tell people the truth. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm not here to influence people and to make you feel good. I'm here to tell you I have a responsibility to empower you with the word of God and to say what God says.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Robert went to be with the Lord. I preached a message that night while he lingered. That was Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. A responsibility to Robert. Oh, God, help us to take our responsibility seriously. I've already messed up. Probably never get invited back, so might as well just fix it while I'm really here. You know, we've got a responsibility in this town. What scares me to death is to think about people that are going to go to hell, and when they stand before God, their blood may be required at mine.
Right.
God, help me to carry that responsibility and carry it responsibly and gingerly with love and compassion.
Yes.
That Jesus had. That responsibility to others. And I'm going to try to close. I wanted to preach all night, but I can tell some of you are growing weary in well doing. And that responsibility is this. Jesus said, greater things shall you do because I go to the Father.
Yes, sir.
We're not doing, Brother Pastor, what the church was
commissioned
to do in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about it. Preacher, I will. In Acts chapter 2 was the setting forth of the church. Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, and for 50 days, I believe it was, he walked on this planet. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible said that he was called up into the clouds. Two angels appeared and said, this same Jesus. But prior to his ascension, Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Remember that?
Yeah.
They went to the upper room, 120 of them. And it occurred to me, Brother Chris, recently, 120 went to the upper room. And I just quoted, the fire fell, the baptism of the Holy Ghost fell, they spoke in tongues. I was in Baxter, Louisiana, at a missionary Baptist camp meeting recently. Probably 400 people in that meeting. I've never seen such carrying on in my life. You talk about the Holy Ghost Church. That Baptist church put us to shame this morning.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
I couldn't stand it. That preacher didn't know that he's going to meet Bruce Smithson, but he had to meet me because I couldn't stand it. And when he got through talking to folks, I said, I got to talk to you. I'm Bruce Smithson. That doesn't mean anything to you, but I got to know something. What in the world is going on in this Missionary Baptist Church? Oh, he said, you must be an Assembly of God or a Pentecostal. I said, well, I'm a Pentecostal. I'm not much of denomination, but I'm Pentecostal. And he said, well, you all decide you didn't want it. And you're just going around teaching folks how to do it. And we decided we wanted it, but we wanted more than tongues. We wanted the power of God. People getting healed. People getting delivered. People got saved that night in that meeting. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. That 120 went out and had a church service after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said 3,000 people got saved. That is the prerequisite of what God really intended the church to do. Yeah. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good.
Come on. That's right. That's
exactly. And they had the second service and 5,000 men got saved. And I got to thinking, well, if 5,000 men got saved, probably had at least 5,000 women and children. So that was 13,120 in Trinity Pentecostal Church of God right downtown Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Would you say that we're missing out on what we really ought to be doing?
Yes, sir.
I held a revival week before last, Brother Pastor, and on a Tuesday night of that meeting, I preached my heart out and I gave the altar call. A lady about 45 years old got up and she got it the old-fashioned way. Sister Brenda, she prayed and cried and squalled like we used to see back in
yes,
the old
sir.
Days.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God help me. And it just blessed me to death. And then I got to thinking about what God really wants to do. And I said, Lord, would you help me to take my responsibility seriously? They say the average preacher prays less than 8 minutes a week in America. Brother Mike, help us take our, I know you pray more than that, but help us to take our responsibility more seriously.
Yes, sir.
Sunday school teacher, how much do you pray and seek God? I know you do. It's a responsibility that we have. God, how long has it been, church, since we talked to somebody about their salvation and how much that we thank God for what He's done? And let me share with you my responsibility and tell you about this Jesus. The responsibility of privilege. Little boy told his mama, it's the preacher's fault. It's the evangelist's fault. It's the song leader's fault. It's somebody's fault. And the little boy had busted Johnny in the nose, but he told his mama, he said, the fight really started when Johnny hit me back. The little boy said, why do doctors wear masks in surgery? Mask, that's kind of something we've been through. And he said the reason they do is because they don't want anybody to know when they make a mess of things. Sometimes we hide behind the facade of different things and we say we're just not capable of doing our responsibility. But the Bible said if whatever your hand finds to do, Chris, come to the piano, I'll be here all night. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. It's your responsibility and privilege. Yeah.